Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, depending on where you are, and welcome to another JavaScript webinar. In today's session, we will look at how you can build a universal Windows platform app using AngularJS. So what are we going to discuss today? So first I want to take you through a quick introduction of universal Windows platform apps. So what is the universal Windows platform? And the apps that you can build for them. Then we're going to look at, well, what are your options for building those universal Windows platform apps? There's multiple options there. And then we're going to look at, once we've looked into different options, and how you can build a native app using AngularJS. This is kind of the point of this session, which I want to introduce you to, is how you can take your existing knowledge of AngularJS that you know and probably love from doing your web development, and take that knowledge for building mobile applications on the Windows platform. And of course, as usual, we're going to have lots of demos throughout this session. As usual, if you have any questions, feel free to reach out to us on Twitter by using the AskMSDev hashtag, and we'll try to get an answer to your question as quickly as possible. So let's start off with the Universal Windows Platform. So for those people not familiar with Windows, it may be good to have a quick introduction to what is this Universal Windows Platform. Now, looking at Windows 10, so the latest version of the Windows operating system, as you may know, Windows 10 runs on a multitude of devices. So it ranges from phones, phablets, over tablets, classic laptops or desktops. But it also runs on more exotic devices, such as an Xbox One device. It runs on HoloLens. So if you want to do holographic computing, you can do so because there is Windows 10 running underneath it. And also, which is maybe somewhat of a surprise, Windows 10 can also run on IoT devices, such as, for example, the Raspberry Pi 2 and 3 devices. So you have a full range of devices where you can run Windows 10 on. Well, what does this mean for you as a developer? Where does this Universal Windows Platform come into play? Now, the Universal Windows Platform is basically a single API surface that is provided to you, that is guaranteed across those different hardware devices, those different platforms or device families, as we call them. And what it means is that you are building on top of, so you have the Windows Core, which is the operating system, on top of which you have a full set of APIs which are named Universal Windows Platform, and on top of which you build an application. So you're building a Universal Windows Platform app, and that single application package, so it's a single package that can basically run as long as you target the Universal Windows Platform APIs, it can run across all of those different device families. So it can run from a Raspberry Pi all the way to a Xbox device, all the way to a Windows phone or a tablet. So it's kind of a nice experience because you're basically building once and then you deploy it just on the device, or you target the devices that you want to target. So you don't have to target every single device if you don't want to, but you can. All with a single API service that is available to you. Of course, when building devices that can run across one or multiple device families, you will be doing some tweaking of the user experience, of course. You may be running on a device that does not have a screen versus, for example, running on an Xbox One that is being displayed on a large TV screen. There's quite some differences in how you are going to represent the visual controls and those things. So you may do some tweaking, do some responsive design, similar to what you would do in the web space. But technically, from a development perspective, the same technology, the same APIs are available to you. So this is kind of the promise and what we realize with the Universal Windows Platform. Now, what are your options for building those universal Windows Platform option apps? There's basically three large categories or types of options that are available to you. The first one of which is just quite common, and it's similar to what you have on other mobile platforms, is that you can build native applications. And on the Windows Platform, if you build universal Windows Platform apps, you basically have multiple technologies available to you for building those native apps. So you have the traditional, more kind of .NET technologies such as C# and VB. But you also have C++ plus DirectX. So for those people coming from a more gaming or C++ background, well, they can use that technology for building those universal Windows Platform apps. But it was what is more important, and which is the thing we're going to focus on today, is you can actually build native applications using JavaScript and HTML. So using your knowledge that you have from web development, you can build native mobile applications which have native performance, and we'll see a number of the advantages of doing so. And of course, there's solutions like Xamarin or gaming middleware technologies such as Unity or Unreal Engine and so on, which also have support for the Universal Windows Platform. So they allow you to build your application once and just then port it or deploy it across even multiple platforms, not just the Universal Windows Platform, but even cross-platform as well. So that's an additional advantage of solutions such as Xamarin or these gaming middleware solutions. Now, this is the native type of applications. Next to that, there's what we call the hybrid or packaged applications. So typically, you're using Cordova or PhoneGap for those. What these bring you is basically you're packaging, you're using web technologies. So you can use your JavaScript frameworks, HTML, CSS, and you will package all of that, all of those files, all of those assets into your application. The thing is, your development is happening in web technologies, and basically those Cordova or PhoneGap will run those in a runtime which is hosted in a native shell. So you have kind of a mixed experience. So you have a native shell in which you have a runtime. This runtime will then basically execute your web application logic. Yeah. And then finally, there's the hosted web apps solution for building universal Windows Platform apps. And this kind of can relate to last week's JavaScript webinar, in which we covered hosted web apps where you used basically Node.js for building UWP apps. And hosted web apps are basically a technology that allows you to completely leverage your existing developments, your website development. And what you do is you have kind of a small container which will load your server-side website into the application with the added advantage that you can even extend your application. But the advantage is that your application logic is sitting on the server side rather than on packaged inside of the application, which has some advantages. And again, those hosted web apps, you can build them using different technologies. So you could use Visual Studio. If you want to go cross-platform, you can even use Manifold.js or App Studio if you want to have a full browser experience. So these are kind of the three big categories of how you build universal Windows Platform apps. So let's quickly, if you haven't seen last week's webinar, introduce you to the hosted web apps. So as mentioned, you have, for the user, it looks like a native experience, a native app that they have on their device. But basically, this native app is just a container. It's just a pointer to your website, which is running on your web server. So we're actually connecting to the website and representing that inside of this hosted web app, inside of this container app. Yeah. It's just a matter of minutes to create such a hosted web app, not even. And so you can fully leverage all of your assets that you're already used for building a website. So the advantage is of course you have your application logic. So the advantage is that you have your application logic hosted centrally. So if you need to make modifications to your application, you can do so by just modifying your the code that is sitting on the web server, rather than having to publish an update through an app store. Yeah. You could use any existing server-side web technology, whether it's Angular, Prisma.js, or whether it's PHP or Ruby, whether it's ASP.NET. Anything goes, basically. So you can share pretty much 100% of your code. And the nice thing is that you can even add extensions to your application, so they can actually invoke functionality that's running on the platform. So it's not just a browser hosted inside of a native app. You can basically break out of this this container and invoke platform functionalities. You can access the camera. You can get access to NFC. And so on and so on. So you can actually even access the hardware that is on the device. Yeah. So let's quickly show you what we're going to do, how we're going to create such a hosted web app. So for this, what I'm going to do is I'm going to use manifold.js. You can just go to manifold.js.com. Where you can basically see installing manifold.js is just using npm, so it's cross-platform. So I'm switching now to my command prompt. And so what we're going to do is we're going to do manifold.js, and what we need to provide is basically the URL to the website that we want to have packaged inside of our application. So in this specific case, and I'll show you the website in just a minute, we're going to use a sample travel website. And then we're going to specify for which platform we want to generate the code. In this specific case, I want to have Windows 10, so a universal Windows platform app. And there we go. So it's now generating, it's contacting the server, checking if there is any manifest available, which would give access to like logos and icons and those things. So we've now generated a Windows 10 application. What is basically this specific website? Switching to my browser here. It's basically just a responsive website. So if we just resize it, you'll notice that the site is really responsive. It changes its experience. So we can click here. We can book, for example, a travel to New York. There we go. We can confirm. Do you want to go with someone? And so on and so on. So it's a fairly simple travel booking experience. So we've generated now this hosted web application for this, so it's taken just a few seconds. What we can do now, if we go to our folder here, you'll see, I'll just open up the code so you can see it. Do you have just a feel of what is in there? So one of the things we have in here is basically the source code, which you can then open in let's a tool such as Visual Studio. So we have a JavaScript project. One important thing we have here as well is the app manifest. So this is basically, the app manifest is kind of the core of this hosted web application. It just contains the pointer of what is our start page. So it's pointing to our website that we want to have packaged. It has some metadata, some visual elements. And one thing you'll see here as well is it contains what we call an application content URI rule. Yeah. Using these URI rules, we can give access to specific URLs, give them access to our universal Windows platform APIs. So I mentioned that a hosted web app can access the camera or NFC or add a toast notification. This is where you specify which URLs have access to those APIs. So let's just change the, let's change, for example, here, our website can access all of our APIs. So by default, you don't have access. Just save this. And if we then run the application, I'm just going to do manifold.js run and then the platform, so Windows 10. What's going to happen is the application will be registered here on my local device. And this should take just a few seconds. It's going to register on my device. There you go, it's deploying it. And then it's going to launch our Windows 10 application. There you go, it's launching. And what you can see here now is the same visual representation of our website. It's just as responsive as it was in our browser. So we can just resize it and you'll see that this, the controls are laid out differently depending on your screen size. We can just go and book here a travel. And the nice thing is, so we can have the exact same experience. If we then go to confirm, one of the nice things is by giving access to the Windows Runtime APIs, so our Windows Platform APIs, the code that's running on our website can now access functionality on my machine. And one of the things is we can access here, choosing a friend, it can actually access my address book sitting here. So I can go to, for example, this one here. This is my local address book. I can confirm. I can even add an entry to my calendar, to my agenda. So here it's opening up. I have a trip to San Francisco. I want to accept this one. So now it has added an entry to my local calendar on my machine here. If we then go to the last step, we can even send toast notifications. Let's remove this one here, toast notification. There we go. So we get a toast notification locally, and all of the code for sending toast notifications, accessing our address book, creating calendar entries is basically sitting on the server side. So it's sitting on our website. There's nothing in this specific hosted web app that we coded to enable this experience. So let's say we want to change this experience right now or tomorrow. You can do so by changing code, JavaScript code on your website and not having to go to publish an update to your app store. So this gives you kind of the flexibility of having all of the code, all of the application logic being managed centrally rather than having to package it inside of your application. Okay, so imagine writing your website using Angular.js. You can just wrap it inside of a hosted web app and have immediately this universal Windows platform app available to you with the capability of extending and using those Windows Windows APIs. So this is a quick example of how to use hosted web apps. So using Manifold.js, you can do so cross-platform. You don't have to be on a Windows device to generate the code for this. Of course, to run it, you will be needing a Windows device. However, just for creating the hosted web app, using Manifold.js, you don't have to be on a Windows machine. You can do so from a Linux or a Mac machine. Switching back, so this is kind of nice experience and quick experience for leveraging your existing assets. If you want to go one step further and you want to create an application, but the application logic is sitting actually on the device itself, because with the hosted web app, there are some capabilities for offline experience by using the traditional like app cache or IndexedDB technologies. But there are some limits to how much you can provide an offline experience. And for that, of course, you can revert to these hybrid or packaged applications, where the application logic is actually sitting inside of, is packaged inside of the app as well. So you're writing HTML, JavaScript, CSS, but you're putting those files inside of the application, and you're publishing that into the App Store. So again, the advantage of reusing all of the web technologies that you already know. You can share your code across the different platforms. This is also a nice advantage of solutions like Cordova, is that you can take it cross-platform. And as mentioned, you have this nice support for offline, because everything is inside of the application. You don't have to have network connectivity. Yeah. There are some drawbacks in terms of performance. That also went for the hosted web apps, because you need to make a network round trip for the packaged apps. Well, you are running on top of this Cordova runtime, so there are some there may be some performance hit, although it may be, depending on the complexity of your application, that may be negligible. One thing to point out here, which is usually quite a drawback, is in terms of look and feel and touch experience of your applications, is that you can reuse all of your web experience, web assets. Of course, if you want to make your application look really native and feel like it's part of the platform, you'll have to do some customizations, or be using some platform frameworks, so that controls really appear like iOS or Windows controls or Android controls. So there are frameworks for that, such as, for example, Sentia, that allow you to do so. But you need to be aware of that. Another drawback is, of course, the speed with which you can publish updates. You need to go to the App Store, because all of the code is packaged with the application. So a quick demo showing you how to leverage your AngularJS knowledge inside of these packaged applications. So for this, I'm switching to Visual Studio. If you were wondering where do you get Visual Studio, you can just go to visualstudio.com. We have the Community Edition, which is basically the Professional Edition, but then for free. You can just download it, and you'll have support for basically all of the technologies inside of Visual Studio. With the announcement with Xamarin, you also have now a free Xamarin functionality development experience as well. So, switching back to Visual Studio. So in Visual Studio, if you do a new project, you will see in the templates that you'll have underneath JavaScript, you'll see there Apache Cordova apps. You can create a blank Apache Cordova app. I've already done so, for the sake of time. And in here, basically what you get here in our Solution Explorer, where you can find all of the files that are part of your packaged application. So what you see here, how Cordova works, is that you specify basically inside of the www folder here. You have subfolders for your HTML. You have your JavaScript files in here. You can see that I have already added AngularJS in there, because I want to use Angular. You can put your images, you can put your CSS in there. It's very much similar to how you do web development. And how does this work? As I mentioned, Cordova allows you to do cross-platform development. Well, basically, you can specify here in the merges folder, you can actually specify overrides. So if you have platform overrides, if you want to override, for example, index.css inside of Android, you have a different user experience, different styles for your controls for your application. Well, you would put an index.css inside of the Android and then CSS folder. Yeah. And that will then as you deploy to Android, Cordova will make sure that it uses the Android version of the CSS file. So using these merges, you can actually override kind of the default behavior that you have specified here in the www area. Now, how do we go about and use AngularJS? Well, Cordova is all about web technologies. So you can see here I have an index.html. I've put here a very simple, like, hello type of experience, hello world type of functionality in here, but using Angular. So this one is using Angular 1, but could be using Angular 2 as well, if you'd want to. So here I just have an Angular app, hello app. It's using the hello controller. What we'll have, just a label, and then the name field will be tied to our model. And then as we modify this input field, we'll see that this, using data binding, that this hello will change accordingly because of the data binding functionality sitting in AngularJS. Our actual AngularJS code, where we define basically our Angular app. So we define here our Angular.module hello app. This could be an external JavaScript file, just for the sake of simplicity. I've just put it here in line. So we're defining our module, and then our hello app gets our hello controller assigned to it, by which we give a scope. And onto our scope, we define basically the name property, which has a default value. If we just run this, we can just run it on the local machine, which is a Windows 10 machine, so it's generating a Windows 10 application. What we'll see is it's now building the application. It's going to come up, and we should see a fairly simple user experience. So it's still building, so this takes a few seconds for it to come up. First time especially, it takes a bit longer. There we go. So this is our Universal Windows Platform app using Cordova. And here we have, we could change this one here and say Calvin Klein, for example. You can see that we have the data binding. It's the normal AngularJS experience that you know and love from building websites. Yeah. So the thing I wanted to show you here is you can use your AngularJS knowledge for building Cordova applications, and as a result, you can build Universal Windows Platform applications. So this is our second option. So we first had our hosted web apps, so where all of your AngularJS and Node is sitting on the server, on a web server, and you just wrap it inside of a hosted web app. You can extend to invoke platform features. Second option is building those Cordova apps, so this hybrid and packaged applications. Again, reuse your AngularJS, HTML, CSS knowledge, but have that code packaged inside of your application. So with all the capabilities of then offline support. You may wonder, how can I add, how can I have access to similar to what we had with the hosted web apps, how can I get access to, for example, a camera device? Well, with Cordova, you can basically add plugins. So we can go to the properties. If we go to the config file, what you can see here is basically the metadata. Similar to what I had with a hosted web app, we had a manifest file. In here, we have a config file where you can specify some platform-specific settings. You can target here Windows 10, Windows 8, 8.1, other Android settings. We have some iOS settings. And then here you can see plugins. So you can add plugins that give you access to, for example, here the camera. So by adding this plugin, you will be able to invoke or get access to the camera device. by using, again, from your JavaScript, from your AngularJS script, you can just call into these plugins. So everything remains web technology, but through plugins you can access the actual device. And there's plenty of plugins available. Okay. So these were the second option, and I want to switch back to the presentation here and kind of dive into the core of this session. So how can we build really a native universal Windows platform app? So not a hosted web app, not a packaged or a hybrid app, but really build a native experience. Native experience by using our JavaScript frameworks, and in this specific case by leveraging AngularJS, because these native apps really give you the raw performance on the device, and give you also a native look and feel, and you have the full support, of course, for offline, and because you're running native, you have access to all of the functionalities, all of the capabilities of the device itself, without having to go through specific settings. Of course, updates for native apps. So for native apps, updates need to go through the App Store. So you don't have that that speed which you have with hosted web apps, but yeah, you get something in return, of course. In terms of code reuse, it's if you build a native app for a specific platform, although we can for the universal Windows platform, you could use JavaScript and HTML. You can reuse some of your existing knowledge and existing developments that you've done for web development. But you can't really pull that through to, for example, iOS or Android. If you want to have native app experiences and still reuse basically the code that you've written for one platform, you need to look at solutions such as Xamarin or these gaming middlewares such as Unity or Unreal or Marmalade and so on. Those allow you to basically build using a single code base and then just export it to the different platforms. Now, quick kind of overview, how do you build for Windows 10? There's all of the existing technology that exists for building just desktop applications. So there's, it's not because you build an application for the Windows 10 operating system that it's automatically a universal Windows platform app. So you still have desktop applications using C++ or the .NET languages such as VB or C#. But they are not necessarily universal Windows platform apps. Yeah, they are just existing desktop apps that you may already know from years and years ago, Win32 applications. They still continue to run on Windows 10, but you can't just take them and deploy them to, let's say, an Xbox device. Yeah, for that you need universal Windows platform applications. Yeah. Universal Windows platform, so you have, you're building on top of this this common set of APIs. And what are your options here? So as mentioned, you have, again, options to use .NET, C++. You have, on the other hand, these gaming middlewares or Xamarin. But what we're going to focus on here today is HTML plus basically Windows web applications, or just your ordinary web technologies that you're used to working with from web development. So in this specific case, AngularJS. So pretty much regardless of what background you have, whether it's in C++, whether you've done .NET, whether you're a web developer, there's always your technology that you can basically reuse for building these universal Windows platform applications. That's kind of the thing we wanted to achieve with Windows 10 and this universal Windows platform, is that you can, no matter what background you have as a developer, it should be easy to build these mobile applications. And as I said, there's a whole lot of APIs available to you. from accessing the hardware, but also accessing things like tiles and notifications, having data roaming. So if you have an application that wants to store user settings such that the application can be used on a phone device, but also on a tablet, as user goes from one device to another, you want to have your settings roam across those devices. So there's APIs for that as well in this Windows runtime. Yeah. So same thing goes for inking, media casting. So there's literally hundreds of APIs available to you, all for you to access from your native application, all available. So you don't necessarily have to be developing in C++ or C#. Every single API is available to you, even if you're developing this Universal Windows Platform app using Angular and HTML. So in JavaScript, you have the same access to all of the APIs as you would have in C++ or that you would have when using .NET languages. So it's quite impressive. So it's really you're on the same level as these other languages. So as mentioned, Visual Studio Community, it's for free. You can just download it. One thing to mention here is if you have your developer machine, you can pretty much develop your applications on any Windows 10 device. The only thing you need to do when you're developing is just you need to develop or unlock your machine. That's just a setting you have to go through on your machine. There's no licenses involved. There's no fee to be paid to unlock a device, whether that's a Windows phone or whether that's a Windows tablet or desktop machine. It's just it's just a setting that you configure to unlock basically your machine. So just put it to developer mode, and you can do development and deployment on your machine. Okay, now let's go to the demo. I'm going to close this one here off, this Cordova. We've looked at this one. So this again here, Visual Studio Community Edition. So how do you get started? If you want to create these Universal Windows Platform applications, you can go to File, New Project, or just click here, New Project. And there's different ways. So depending on the language that you choose. So if you are a C# developer, you can go to Windows Universal, create a blank Universal Windows application using C#. Or if in our specific case we're going to use JavaScript, we can go to other languages in JavaScript. Again, you'll have Windows Universal. Yeah, you can see different templates here depending on what the blank app, Universal Windows app, is giving you an empty, a blank application that has access to all of the Windows runtime APIs by default. You can also create one where you're working in a limited constraint, where not all of your, where by default your JavaScript code does not have access to the Windows runtime APIs. This is if you're not necessarily using any WinRT APIs, you can choose this template. The hosted web app that we've seen before. WinJS app. This comes back to how can we make a mobile application that feels kind of native, that feels like it's part of the platform, although we're using JavaScript code. How do we get access to all of the Windows controls, the Windows look and feel, the Windows animations that exists, that are kind of core to a given mobile operating system. And for that, you can use what we call WinJS. So WinJS is a JavaScript library that gives you a whole set of styles and controls to make sure that your application, whether it's buttons or drop-downs, that it feels as if it were an application that is part of the operating system. And it's not just using standard web controls that you would typically use as you were developing in AngularJS. Okay. So let's just start with a blank application. You can choose here for what versions, what API versions you want to support. And as this one is loading, you'll see I'm just going to use this one, and then I'm going to switch to a starter template, which I've already pre-configured for AngularJS, just to show you what you get out of the box. So what you can see here is we have folders for CSS, we have a script JS folder, or we can put our JavaScript files. We have our index.html. As you can see here, it's pretty much standard HTML code. There's nothing really specific to mobile development in here. And you have an images folder. And the thing that is important here as well is our app package.app manifest, where you can specify basically the metadata for your application. What is our application name, our default language, our supported rotations, those kind of things. Visual assets, so do we have a logo? What different types of logos do we have? Also important here, what are our capabilities that we will be accessing? So if we want to have access to, let's say, the camera or the address book, well, we need to explicitly mention it here. So for example, here we want to have access to our contacts and our webcam. If you don't do so, your application will not be allowed access to those different capabilities when you publish it through the store. Okay, so keep that in mind. Make sure you put the necessary capabilities in here in your manifest. Okay. So we have our manifest, which is our specific to our Windows platform. But next to that, it's just standard HTML. So if we run this application, just go to local machine. Note that you can run this application also on the Windows mobile emulator. So here you can see we have our application. There isn't much in here. It's just content for a simple HTML. But it's pretty much standard web development, as you can see here. Okay. Now, how do we go about and add and use AngularJS? So one of the things, I'm going to switch to a different project here, my Angular 2 starter. So here, what I've done is I have already, it looks somewhat more complicated, but I've added here a folder where we have our sources. And this specific application is going to use AngularJS 2. Just to show the difference, with our Cordova, we used Angular 1, 1.x. Here we're going to use Angular 2. So we have our sources folder where we have our app, app.ts. We have some bootstrapping, just to bootstrap Angular as we start our application. So we have our index.html page, so our starting page, which is sitting here. You can see I'm just using the app, an app tag, which will then invoke our Angular 2 component, which has the corresponding controller and logic and routing associated with it. Okay. So this has been set up already. What I've added also is a package.json, because we're going to use, first off, there's going to be some scripting. So we're using Webpack specifically for packaging up all of our JavaScript code. I'd recommend using this, and the link is in our presentation towards this starter template, to use Webpack, because otherwise you're going to run, especially if you're developing on Windows, you're running into a path too long errors. So it's easier just to, anyway, Webpack has a lot of advantages. It makes your development easier, or your deployment easier, as you're only referencing a single JavaScript file or just a limited set of JavaScript files. So my package.json file has some scripts in here just for packing everything up. It's doing watch for file changes. As we're using Angular 2 with TypeScript, we'll be doing some TypeScript compilation as well. So we have ts-config.lint being invoked. And then we have our dependencies, so Angular 2. Potentially you could use React as well. WinJS is referenced here if you want to have controls from the Windows JavaScript library. But we can do so, and so on and so on. And a number of developer dependencies. So this I've added, and just a quick look on our webpack.config. In here, what we'll do is we're going to package up. We'll do start. Our entry point is our bootstrap.ts. This is where our Angular app is sitting. I'll show you in just a minute what it is. We'll be generating single JavaScript files, all the processing for CSS, and doing SAS, pre-compilation, etc., etc. So you can pretty much take this one verbatim for if you want to use AngularJS. As mentioned, the link is in the presentation. So our webpack config. So apart from that, so we have our index.html, which is pretty simple, just invoking our Angular 2 app component. Now I talked about this bootstrap.ts file. In here, there's some stuff in here. We're importing our app from app.ts file. And here we're actually bootstrapping AngularJS. Okay. One thing you may see here, app.onActivated. You also see app.onCheckpoint. These are basically events that are triggered by the Universal Windows Platform. So as your application starts, the onActivated event is basically triggered as soon as your application starts. And then we can check what was basically the reason for it to start. Did we come out of a suspended state? Did we come out, is this a new run of the application? Depending on that, you may want to rehydrate the application. If a user was working in an application, the application got suspended because it was put in the background. You may want to rehydrate if he was filling in a form, the user. You may want to refill that form again for him. So in here, depending on the arcs.detail.previous execution state, here we could see the application was not terminated. So it's a clean install. It's a clean run from the application. We're going to bootstrap Angular. Otherwise, we may want to rehydrate the application. Also on checkpoint, this is basically the event that is being triggered when your application is going to be suspended. This is where you will be storing the current context, the current state of your application. And you can store your data by using the winjs.applicationSessionState property. So this is just a property bag, and you can store all your values in there, and it's going to be stored on the device. As your application then starts up again with the onActivated, you can read from the application session state. So you can read from the application session state and rehydrate the application. But basically, this is all fairly simple. It's just a matter of this bootstrap.js file is just for bootstrapping our application. Okay. Now what is in our application? It's fairly simple. So we have the standard out of the box we're referencing, importing the components from routing config, some form providers, all coming from Angular 2, from the core, from root and common. We can import some styling. So this is a SAS file. And then here we have the standard definition of an app component using Angular 2 syntax. So we specify here our selector. So this is the one that we referenced in our index.html. We have specific styling and templating. So our template, we have here two properties. We have a URL and a title property, which we will be referencing in our app.html, our component template. So here you can see we're referencing our title. We're referencing here our URL using standard data binding that we know from Angular. So again, it's fairly simple. It's pretty much the same thing as you would do when building a web application using Angular 2. Okay. So if we start this application, so one thing I'll do while this one is running, I'm just going to go to Angular, our start, and run our npm run watch, just to have, if we start making modifications to our application, they are picked up and built automatically. So this one, let me switch to show you here. Since this is our webpack being executed and watching for file changes. So here you could see our AngularJS2 universal app. So we have our data binding kicking in. We have our link being shown here. So as you would expect from a normal application. Okay. So switching back to our code here. So it's just a matter of putting your TypeScript files here. You have your SAS definitions. We have our HTML for our component, and we can add more components if we want to. One example, as you can see here, a more complex example is the quick start or the tutorial that you get from the Angular 2, so the Tour of Heroes application. I'm just going to run it here. So this contains a more elaborate Angular 2 code where you have multiple screens, you have some routing kicking in, so we have our dashboard, we have a details view, we have our heroes, which we can look at. So in our code, if we look at the details, we can change his name. Let's call him Narco with an uppercase O. If we go back to our dashboard, we'll see that it has changed. This is standard Angular 2. It's pretty much the same logic, and I can show you what it looks like in the web, which is pretty much the same thing as you can see here in our application. So you have the same functionality here. Our dashboards, our heroes, same styling. Everything is pretty much very much the same. Okay, so we can click here, have our detail, and so on. So I've taken pretty much the code as is. So here we have our components. We have the different components. So we have an app component, a dashboard. There's a service in here to get our application data. So it's a more elaborate version of Angular 2 wrapped here inside of a native Universal Windows Platform application. Okay, so it does not necessarily have to be as simple as the application that we have right here. Now, one thing I want to show you here in addition, just so here you could see we could leverage our existing Angular 2 code in the same way as we do for websites. How can we invoke now? Let's say the camera. We want to add what we call a toast notification, or we want to add a live tile to our application. Let's go to our app.ts, so our app code, and let's add here a function here. I'm going to copy paste it here because it's for the sake of time. You don't want to see me typing for too long. Let's say we want to add similar to what we saw with our hosted web app, we want to get a contact. We want to get access to our address book. So let's add here a quick function to our app component. One thing we need to do here. We have our contact. How does this work? Well, basically what you can see here, we create what we call a contact picker. We can just go to the Windows namespace application model contacts.contact picker. So we have full access to the Windows APIs. So we can go to windows.apis You can see here application model. We can go to devices. Let's say we want to have access to a printer. We want to have access to a Bluetooth device. We want to have geolocation. So if you want to have access to the GPS device linked to a specific user's device, well, you can get the geolocation of that person. Yeah. Or get Bluetooth or Bluetooth activation. So using beacons, you can have your application start up as soon as you get into the range of a specific beacon. So in this specific case, we're creating a contact picker that allows us to access our address book. We want to have some email information. And then what we have is on our picker, we have the pick contact async method that we can invoke as soon as we have a result back from the contact picker. We can display basically the selected user. Okay, now we still need to add something in our user interface here. Just for the sake of time, what I'm going to do is going to put a break here. I'm just going to put just a hyperlink. So as we click on it, we want to have our function invoked. Let's do something like this. You probably would want to style this a bit better. There we go. We're going to run it now. So this one here, if we have all our modules, I can see that our webpack is still processing, so we may not yet have. So we may have to restart it because it was not yet packaged up. There we go. So we have our contact. As I click on this one, you can see we have the same experience. We get access to our the address book. I can use myself here. And I could see in my output window here that my selected contact came out of my address book. Yeah, so this is how you get access to the address book. In the same way, let's take another quick example. We can access the camera as well. So very, very much similar. In here, we're just adding another function, access camera. So in here, you're using the Windows.media.capture APIs, the camera capture UI. You can specify what type of photo or image format you want to use. So it's a PNG file. And then we're going to just pop up the camera UI using the camera file async. As soon as we have something, we'll have the captured item, which is basically the image that was taken using the camera application. So let's save this one, and in our, let's add another link here. Take a picture. Let's see if I haven't been too quick again, because our webpack seems to be running. Switching back. Still not yet. I was still too quick. So there we go. We have our take picture. And we go there. We can see you can have my device, my camera. I can take a picture. There we go. We get the standard Windows controls for taking a picture and cropping the image. So let's say I want to take this one here. There we go. It's saving the picture. And we should have access now in our JavaScript code. Our captured item will be the result of this user camera user interface. Yeah. So using AngularJS in combination with a native application. So the application that we generated here, it's really a native application. So many of the built-in applications in Windows 10 are built using JavaScript and HTML. So they have the same performance as any other native application here. So just use the same syntax as you as you're used to with web applications. So using TypeScript, use JavaScript if you prefer JavaScript rather than TypeScript. Have all of your styling, use less SAS. All of your web technologies still apply, and you can extend it just by using the Windows Runtime APIs inside of your JavaScript here. So just using the Windows namespace, you'll have access to Windows. Whether it's media, whether it's the application model to get access to contacts, whether it's writing something in the user's calendar, whether it's adding a toast notification, whether it's adding a live tile, all of those things are capable, can be done, getting access to NFC devices, and so on. So extending the app using tiles. So with this, just recapping, so we've seen first building a hosted web app, so the actual web code is sitting on a website centrally, and we just have a container which will invoke this website. Then we went one step further and had a packaged application, just a Cordova PhoneGap application, where the web code is sitting, is packaged inside of the applications through plugins. You can access the device. And then finally, in the last section, we looked at native applications. So native performance, still using the familiar web technologies, HTML, Angular, and so on, Angular 1, Angular 2, or other frameworks as well. If you want to use React, you can do so as well. A number of resources. So dev.windows.com for all documentation, also for publishing your app to the Windows Store. Some links to the tooling, and then the last link is basically the link to the starter template to get started with Angular 2 inside of a universal Windows platform application. So with that, if you have any further questions, do reach out to us on Twitter, and we'll have a couple more JavaScript webinars coming up. And with that, I want to thank you for joining this webinar. Bye.